be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this, the Sunday of the Reformation, would you read together with me today's sermon title, We Need Reforming. Based on our epistle lesson from Hebrews 13, let me read some selected verses. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for your heart to be strengthened by grace. Especially today, I ask you to follow your sermon outline as you find it in your handout. As we consider our theme, keep on reforming. Well, today, just during the sermon, you know, I've forgotten how heavy these are. Just during the sermon, I want to wear my old doctor's robes. I wore this on special occasions when I was a professor at Concordia Seminary in Edmonton. In those days, my students and most others in my life referred to me as Dr. Harold. I taught men who were studying to be pastors. And why do I wear them today? Well, because today is Reformation Day. And this Reformation was started by a pastor who was also a doctor and a professor. His name, of course, is Martin Luther. He lived in Germany around the year 1500, 500 years ago. Luther was a mighty man of God. And a strong preacher and teacher of God's word who stood up to the authorities of the church and of society and the government. He stood up to them because they had strayed far away from God's word and from the Savior the scriptures declare and led people to destruction as well. Things needed to be reformed. When you look up the word reform in the dictionary, here's the definition. To remove faults or abuses. To restore to a former good condition. To bring from bad to good. Reformation Sunday is when we remember that Luther worked hard to reform the church of his day so that it would remain true to the Word of God and to the Savior it proclaimed. In our own church body, the Lutheran Church, we get our name from Martin Luther, the Reformer. Today, the Christian Church still needs to be reformed. Our church needs to be reformed. So we remain faithful to God's Word and to our Savior Jesus. And today, each one of our individual lives needs to be reformed. So we remain faithful to God's Word and to our Savior. This is why our sermon title is, We Need Reforming. The Reformation of Luther's day was based on three key principles. They are, Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone. And our church is based on these same three principles. Scripture, faith, and grace. It just so happens that today, those three principles are included in the epistle lesson from Hebrews 13. First of all, Scripture alone. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Word of God leaders are worth remembering. We remember those faithful pastors and teachers and parents and grandparents who taught us God's word. Who brought us to the waters of holy baptism. Who brought us to the altar for holy communion. Sadly today, in too many homes and in too many churches, God's word is being forgotten. Oh, how empty are the hearts and souls of those people, because those who should be are not teaching the truth and the power of God's word. But where God's word is being proclaimed and believed, people's lives are being changed, hearts are being won and kept for Jesus, and sins are being forgiven, and the hope of heaven is sure and certain. In those places, the Reformation continues. Dear Lord God, keep reforming us by Scripture alone. The next principle, look on your outline, is faith alone. Our text from Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, imitate their faith. The faith of those who trust the Word of God is worth imitating. I've been a pastor now for 36, going on to 37 years. It's been my honor to minister to many dear Christian people who have already gone to glory. My own faith and life has been strengthened by the faith and life of these dear saints of God. These people of God who knew and trusted their God, not just in their heads, but in their hearts. Their faith was not just head knowledge. It was a living, vital force that captured their heart and their soul. And they taught me how to have faith as well. Our faith is not just a nice feeling. Our faith is not just a happy thought. Our faith is not a pleasant dream that disappears when we wake up and face reality. Faith is an unshakable trust in whom the Scripture reveals Jesus Christ our Lord. The object of our faith is always and only Jesus. In Hebrews 13 today, you heard the words. It said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus offered himself on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He died on that cross to pay for your sins, Christine. For your sins, Alvaro. For yours, Joan. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Jesus was raised from the dead and he lives forever. And he promises those who trust in him today with simple childlike faith will also live with him forever. Jesus says in John's gospel, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. The Bible tells us that one day, and Lord, make it soon, please, Jesus will return to bring an end to this sinful world. But until that day, our dear God, please keep reforming us as we live by faith in you alone. The third and last principle of the Reformation, notice your sermon outline, is this: grace alone. Scripture, faith, and grace. Hebrews 13 says in verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is good to have your heart strengthened by grace. God's grace is his undeserved love and kindness and forgiveness for sinners like us in Jesus Christ our Lord. But in Luther's time, and now let me tell you to wake up and smell the coffee, as they say. In Luther's time and in our time today, there are all kinds of strange teachings out there that lead us away from God's grace. These strange and bad teachings may be found in the local bookstore, on famous personality TV talk shows, on the internet, and even in some churches that have strayed away from the Bible. These strange teachings can easily worm their way into our hearts and into our minds. They lead us away from God's grace. They lead us toward trusting in our own good deeds or our own feelings. But if we are immersed in God's grace and continue in what our church calls the means of grace, Holy Scripture, Holy Baptism, Holy Communion, we will not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Reformation Sunday is a good time to remind each of us not to be spiritually lazy or complacent, but remain true to God's Word. In Jesus Christ, we have been given the riches of God's grace, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. They are riches beyond all comparison. They are riches we cannot afford, but the bill for these riches was charged to Jesus' account. On the cross of Calvary, His blood paid the price that we might be given these riches of God. This is the grace spoken of in that Reformation verse of all Reformation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace we have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." O Lord God, keep us true to Your grace. Keep us away from strange and false teachings. O Lord God, keep reforming us today that we are trusting Your grace alone. In these wicked and perverse days in which we live, and by the way, it's going to get worse before it gets better. In these wicked and perverse days in which we live, we as God's people need to take a stand on these principles of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, and grace. It begins in our homes. It continues in the church. But let none of us forget about our own personal hearts. Someone once asked an elderly Chinese Christian gentleman, "Now that you're in your 80s and fully retired, what do you do all day with your time?" And he said, "Oh, I'm actually quite busy. I have much to do every day." He said, "I have two eagles to tame, two rabbits to keep from running away, two hawks to manage, one snake to confine, one lion to chain, and one sick man to wait upon." The friend said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying." The old gentleman replied, "I need God's help for these tasks every day. I need His gifts of Holy Scripture, faith, and grace, or I would be lost, because the two eagles are my eyes. The two rabbits are my feet. The two hawks are my hands. The snake is my tongue, the lion is my heart, and the sick man is my own sinful self." Are there any among us who can say the Reformation is complete in their lives? No way. Instead, like that elderly gentleman, we are called today to strengthen the defenses in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches. We do this so that liar, the devil, and this sinful world do not pull us away from God and destroy us. We go on the offensive even to combat error with God's truth, to be used by God to set people free. But the good news is this. We trust not in our puny selves to accomplish such things, but only in our crucified and risen Jesus, our precious and dear Lord. He alone has won the victory over sin. He alone has won the victory over death. He alone has won the victory over the devil. This is the Savior that Martin Luther always pointed to at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the Reformation. This is the Savior who strengthens us to keep the Reformation going today. Martin Luther wrote many hymns for Christians to sing. And clearly, one of his most famous hymns became the fight song, the theme song of the Reformation. His title, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a powerful hymn. We're going to end our sermon today by speaking together just the second verse of this hymn. It tells us this: on our own, we cannot stand up against the devil and this sinful world, but in Jesus Christ, we stand in victory. Please proclaim this with me now, our battle song. You can find it on the back of your sermon outline. You can also find it on the screen. You can choose to read it from either place. Would you read it with me, please? With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. In the name of Jesus, who keeps on reforming us. Amen.